not a very good job.
Man is not disposed to want to hear the truth. I want to take a look at the beginning of Perek Chof Dalet in Yecheskel. Be'ezus Hashem, you know, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, when I speak from Yom HaKadosh HaKlali, I'll speak further about the 24th chapter in Yecheskel. But the introduction to this chapter is a very important introduction. The Novi Yecheskel writes, Vayidvar Hashem Elai Bashon HaTshiyas, in the ninth year of the reign of Tzidkiyo, Vachodesh HaAsiri, in the tenth month, Chodesh Tevis, Vachosor LaChodesh Leimor, on the tenth of the month, on Asor HaTevis. Ben Adam is the classic address that the Rabbeinu Shlomo uses for the Novi Yecheskel. Ben Adam. And he tells him, K'sov lecha es shem hayoim, write down the name of today, es etzem hayoim hazeh, this actual day. Sobach melech Bavo Yerushalayim, the king of Bavo, has laid siege to Yerushalayim be'etzem hayoim hazeh, on this day itself. As the Rashi says, Somach Melech Bavel Hayom Tzor Aleho, he began the siege of Yerushalayim today. Now what was this all about? What this was all about was that where was the Novi Yecheskel? The Novi Yecheskel was in Bavel. He wasn't in Eretz of Tachlis or Kavonahi, Bezeh Siva. What did he tell him? K'sob Lecha Hashem Hayom Bezeh. Write it down. It should be recorded in history. The Novi Yecheskel was in Bavel. Because of Mashanase in Yerushalayim. And he wrote what's happening today in Yerushalayim. And when the couriers come with the news from Yerushalayim, then this is actually what happened. He was 1,000 miles away from Eretz Yisrael. They didn't have no cell phones in his days. So how would the Novi and Bobo know what's going on in Yerushalayim today? On the 10th of Tevis. And they'll see Ki Chein Hoyo. Exactly, the Novi said, make a record of it. And they'll find out months later that it's true. Yaminu Bo, this will increase the likelihood that they will believe him. And they will not be swayed by the Nevi HaShekher. Nevi HaShekher were a constant problem. So the Rabbeinu Shalom wanted to establish the bona fides of Yecheskel. So here he comes and he proclaims Barabbam. Mark this day down in history. It's the 10th of Tevis. We're 1,000 miles away from Yerushalayim now. What's happening in Yerushalayim? Who knows what's happening in Yerushalayim? The king of Bava laid siege to Yerushalayim today. So this was a wondrous nevuah. How is it conceivable that a human being could know what happened? Only the Novi Hashem could know. So Yecheskel thereby sets himself aside, apart from all the false prophets of his time. He's clearly, if you want to have any doubt until now, he is the real deal. Now the terminology in the Pasuk, the Mefarshim struggle with, that we have two expressions, a Shem Hayom and it's Etzem Hayom Hazeh. So some say Shem Hayom means what day of the week it was. And then secondly, es etzem hayom hazeh, what day of the month it was. That's the way some learn pshat. The Malbim has a very, very interesting spin on it. He says, here we find that Yerushalayim is written without the yud in this pasuk. as it is, it's often throughout the Nevi'im. And he writes the following, that Sheshem Hayom Humilas Osa, the name of the day is the word Osa, Osa Lachidish. The Etzam Hayom refers to the number 10. Sheoser Ola Becheshbainai 576, the Mispar Asora, and together with 10, Shu Etzam Hayom, is 586. And this is Kemispar Yerushalayim, Shenichtav Po Choser Yud. It's written without the Yud. Liyos Lezikorim, the day itself is a Zikorim, Shesomach Melech Bovel Yerushalayim. That the siege was laid on Yerushalayim today. He laid siege to Yerushalayim. Ukafi Mispar HaKasdim, and according to the Kasdim, Etzlam Halayla Shayach Alayim Sha'ovar, the night time is associated with the next day. Choshvu Oz Yom Yud Aleph Tevis. From there, Cheshbon, Ukafi Mispar HaKasdim, Etzlam Halayla Shayach Alayim Sha'ovar. So the night was the night of the 11th. They counted it as the 10th. So as Yom Yud Aleph Tevis, Uvuloshen Kazdim Nivushen Achodesh Tevis. As we know, these numbers names came from Bava. Kamo Shomru Chazal the Shemos Achadoshim Oluim Ma'ani Bava. And if you take the shame, the numbers Yud Aleph Tevis, Shu Shem Hayom, the Etzem Hayom, the Bnei Bavo, according to the Cheshbon of Bnei Bavo, Oyle Kemispa Nuchanetza. It's in Begematria Nuchanetza. Vizeya Zecha Godel. So in this pasuk is a remes to Yerushalayim and a remes to Nuchanetza. Shabo Biyom Somach Melech Bavo, the Etzem Hayom is a Koyach Hayom, the Haremes Shabbat.
Nebuchadnezzar
was the second base of the Israelites, right? No, first.
Romans first.
So he says, the Pasuk is Meramis to Yerushalayim and to Nebuchadnezzar. Now it's interesting. It's reflected even in the Nevi'im in Yirmiyahu. Here we find Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, in the midst of this day. There's an emphasis on the day. The other Tanaisim are not so much for the day as for a period. It's even a little marumas perhaps in a number of different things in the halacha. First of all, in the Novi itself, it says that when was the siege it refers to the siege. When did they break through the walls of Yerushalayim? So the Novi says they broke through the walls. And the Novi, it says the 9th of Tammuz. And the Novi, it actually says the 9th of Tammuz. Now, the Yerushalmi says in reality it took place in Yerushalayim Tammuz. And the first Migdash and the second Migdash were the same. But due to the tzaras, the confusion of the time, it was not recorded properly. I suspect a little bit that the pshat is there were no shortage of tzaras on the 9th of Tammuz. When you put it in exact historical perspective, you should better attribute the breaching of the city to the 17th than to the 9th, even though whatever happened on the 9th was already an aspect of it. But historical perspective, they didn't have under those conditions. Something happened on the 9th. They didn't just make up the 9th. But in the total perspective, it's not the issue. But that also shows they were not so medactic in the day. The day was not. It was a period. It was a tekufa. Now we find something very interesting. All the Tanaisim can occur on Shabbos. Some Gedalia can be on Shabbos. Tisha B'Av can be on Shabbos, as it will be this year, right? Some Gedalia was this past, some Gedalia was Shabbos.
Yom Kippur was on Shabbos.
This past, some Gedalia was on Shabbos. this coming summer, we're going to have Shiva Asa B'Tamuz, and Tisha B'Av are both on Shabbos. Now, and it also happens to be the Tainus Esther can also occur on Shabbos. Asar B'Tavis never occurs on Shabbos. And the Cheshbon is Poshet. And we'll see the halachic dimension, but the Asar B'Tavis, the day, was most significant. It wasn't, you know, obviously the king of Babel was massing armies. It could have happened any time. That wouldn't be significant. And he knew, yeah, around then the siege took place. That's what Nebuchadnezzar was out to do. But significant is the day. They knew today it happened. It didn't happen on the 9th, it didn't happen on the 11th, it happened on the 10th. That was significant. The day was most significant. So Asar B'Tavis is never a Nitcha. Asar B'Tavis is never a Nitcha. The other Tarisim could be a Nitcha. This is talking about events, the day in and of itself. Tisha B'Av, they started to burn on the 9th, it burned on the 10th. Rabbi Yochanan said, if it were up to me, I would have been Kovei Tisha B'Av on the 10th of Av, not the 9th of Av. So there are varied possibilities. There were those perhaps that would suggest that if Asar B'Tavis came on Shabbos, they'd have to fast. Perhaps. Why? Because the notion is that Asar B'Tavis, right? It's a sheet in Rishonim. It's be'etzem hayom hazeh. It's related to the day specifically. Reb Chaim Brisk talked about the sheet. They said the whole world knows this sheet. The fact that Rashi and Masechta Megillah disagreed with this sheet and said Asar B'Tavis is no different, and Asar B'Tavis is also subject to Nitcha, that the world already doesn't know. But Rashi, in the beginning of Masechta Megillah, records us that Asar B'Tavis would also be subject to a Nitcha. Just in our calendar, we made it that it doesn't come out on Shabbos. But if it would come out on Shabbos, we push it off.
So how do we prevent it from coming out on Shabbos?
The calendar is so structured that it doesn't come out on Shabbos. It's, I don't know why I didn't cheshbon what exactly accounts for it, but Asar B'Tavis is never on Shabbos. So there's a special chiddush according to some of Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. So we understand because the Navi's message only reverberated because it was tied to a specific day. The general events of that era, one didn't have to be the Navi Yecheskel to figure out what was happening. But to know exactly when it happened, that you had to be the Navi Yecheskel to know. So there's an inyan of Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. So among all the Tanaisim, Asar B'Tavis is unique in that regard. That it most directly highlights the events not only of an entire period of time. In Shiva Asa B'Tamuz, we're talking about the beginning of the destruction of Yerushalayim. The 18th was no less important than the 17th. Here we're talking about events of a particular day. That's the unique aspect of Asar B'Tavis. Special. Unique and apart from all the other Tanis.
So why don't we fast 24 hours?
That's a different, that's a cheshbon of Tainus Tzibur. That's not, we don't hold anything as a Tainus Tzibur except Tisha B'Av, the full Tainus Tzibur. The full day of Tainus Tzibur, that's a chayiv. It's tied to a day, but it's not tied. Does it have to be 24? It doesn't have to be 24 hour fast. There's a suggestion in the Medrash that perhaps the Chorban should have taken place in the winter time in Tevis, perhaps in Asar B'Tavis, perhaps. But the Rebbeinu Shalom, in his kindness, did not want the Golus to begin in the winter. Because the suffering of the Jewish people, the Medrash Eicha says, will be enough if it occurs in the summertime, when they can sleep outdoors, when they're being driven into Golus. It doesn't have to be magnified by the tzara being sent forth in the winter time, where they'll freeze also, besides all the other tzaras that they're going to have. So this is the notion of Asara L'Tevis. It's in the first bias, the events which began ultimately the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. From here, Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to them, and eventually, from that siege, he destroyed the city. So, as we mark, this is the beginning of the process. And really, the cycle of the Tanaisim begins from Asara B'Tevis. It's Asara B'Tevis, Shavuos of Tammuz, the entry into the city, the Tisha B'Av, the destruction of the Migdash, and Tzom Gedalia is the final one of the Tanaisim. Because the events of Tzom Gedalia are post the Chorban. The community that remained in Yerushalayim after they murdered Gedalia ben Achikam, so Nebuchadnezzar said, if this is the way they keep order among themselves, I don't need them. And he decided to destroy the rest of Eretz Yisrael at that point. And he drove those people out. This was the final step in the ultimate destruction of the first Jewish Commonwealth. Nothing was left at this point. So the cataclysmic events which the four Tanaisim highlight begin with Asara B'Tevis. That's the first of the four. Now the notion of the Tainus, what is the notion of a Tainus? There are times that the means becomes the end, and the end is thereby forgotten. On Shavuot Shuvah we read the Novi and Yoel, Kiru levavichem v'al bigdeichem. Tear your hearts and not your clothes. Meaning, at times is a sign of kapar, or penitence. They tore their clothes. They mourned. But the Navi says you missed the point. The outer expression you incorporated, but did it bring forth the inner response? So the Novi yells, "Kiru levavchem v'al bigdeichem." Forget about the outer measures. Remember the end. It's kiru levavchem. We fast. Fasting is a measure of penitence, self-denial. It's as if we ourselves are the carbon before the Rabbeinu Shalom. All true. But what's the tachlis of the time? It's tshuva masim tovim. So if we're caught up and they're not eating, it's a chiyuv al pidin. We have no choice. But if that's what we get caught up in, so we did the maisa mitzvah, but in brisker terms, the kiyum we never got to. Right? What do we say on Yom Kippur? The Novi Yeshaya says, "Hello, Zet Tzomef Chorei. You want me to accept your fast? What type of fast should I accept?" So he tells him, "Foros Laroiv Lachmecha. Take care of the downtrodden, the ones that don't have what to eat. Extend food to them. Set the Avodim free." The oppression of people should come to an end. And one more thing the Navi says. The whole Navi of Yom Kippur, Solu Solu Pano Derech, Hater Chatzuvos Resha, talks all about Ben Odom L'Chaver, social iniquity, a lack of social justice. But what does the Haftarah end with? The Torah ends, the Haftarah ends with the call to Shmur HaShabbos. The Rebbeinu Shem gave us a Torah Shlema. A Torah that's built on Ben Odin L'Chaveiro and Ben Odin L'Mokom. At times, we emphasize for practical purposes one over the other. A focus for the moment is at one. But we can't lose sight of the fact that the service of the Rebbeinu Shem was a Torah Shlema. The Navi can decry, and we can ridicule the absence of social justice worthy of Yom HaKippur. But let us not think that if we build a just society, that we're good over there, Hashem. We've done part of the job. We have to serve the Rebbeinu Shalom too. So the tonus is the call to serve the Rebbeinu Shalom, the call to tshuva. The call to correct the deficiencies in Ben Odin L'Chaveiro and Ben Odin L'Mokom. Then that's the tzayim. If all that happened with the tzayim is I got up a half an hour early to eat breakfast and I skipped lunch and I ate supper that night, so what did I accomplish? So we have to keep in mind what the notion of the time is. I'm going to look a little bit at the halachas of the time. We have a machlaikis really in the, I shouldn't say a machlaikis, it's an interesting, it's a notion in the Gemara. Most of the Tanaisim that we have begin in the morning. They don't begin the night before, other than Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. What is the status of the night time preceding the Tainus? Is it part of the Tainus or it's not part of the Tainus? Meaning to say, eat, we eat at night, that's true. But does that mean the whole notion of the Tainus begins in the morning? Means the whole Yom Tshuva, the Yom Slicha of a Kapara begins in the morning. It's not part of the Avodas Halayla. Or the Tzom begins at night. And it's the Yom Slicha of a Kapara started already. Except the Tainus is not so onerous. So for the Tainus, we can wait until the morning. This is a Shaila in the Rishonim in Masech the Tainus. And it has very practical implications at a number of different levels. At a very elementary level, is a very elegant tshuva written by Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. The question, can we conduct a chasana on the night preceding Shavuos of Tammuz? In other words, Leil Yud Zayin Tammuz, that night, can we have a chasana on that night or not? Fast begins in the morning. So when did the 3 weeks begin? In the morning or the night before? So he traces it back to the Shaila and the Rishayna. When did the Tainus begin? The Tainus begin at daybreak? Or the Yom Tzayim begins actually the night before? The Yom Slicha Vakapara begins the night before. The Isur and Achil and Shtia, that starts in the morning. So therefore, he says certainly the chatchila, one should not do such a thing.
What about taking a shower on the night?
We're not machmer on that, on the yeserinuyim. Just the same way we're not machmer on eating. There is a shita from Ban that by every tainus tzibur to begin fasting by yom to conduct the tisha b'av star. But that's a little pshat in a sugi in Rosh Hashanah. That's not a psak. So that's one manifestation of what this machlokes is. There's another manifestation. Starov, you talked a little about the other side of it on Friday night. There's a din that on a tainus tzibur, it's a tough kub samach dalar in the Shulchan Aruch, before one goes to sleep, if one wants to eat or drink again, when one gets up in the morning, one has to make a condition. One has to have in mind at least, or articulate that one will eat or drink in the morning. And then the Ramah ends as we paskin, at least with the Yevid, we paskin that way, that for drinking, one doesn't have to make a tonight. Drinking is self-understood that if a person wakes up before dawn, he's going to drink. But the Chabetz Chaim still says lechatchila that it's better to make it tonight. Lechatchila roi lahachmer lahaslois af l'shtiyak adas l'cham. So on Shabbos we explored one of the reasons for this halacha, which had to do with a din, even by Tainus Tzibur, there's a din of Kabbalah Satainus. It's not only a personal Tainus, a Tainus Yortzayda, and I want to fast tomorrow for penitence. So the mincha before I'm a Kabbal Tainus. But even by a Tainus Tzibur, there's a din lechatchila of Kabbalah Satainus. That's one, that's the aspect we talked about Shabbos. Leil Shabbos. There's another aspect too. There are Rishonim, the Ritva and the Ran, that say the Pshat in this halacha is that really the Tainus, the Din Tainus starts in the night time. We have a dispensation for eating until the day. But once we go to sleep, basically, like we packed it in for the day, so that's it. So the dispensation ended. It calls when we want to be up and we intend to eat. So we have a dispensation. Once I packed it in for the night and I don't intend to get up and eat again before the Tainus, so the dispensation ended. So now it's Ukmei Adina. The Tainus really should start at night. That's the reason. So that's another aspect in this din of when the Tainus begins. Yeah.
I have a question of a few weeks ago the Rav spoke about the din of not eating or drinking any kosh of a food before Shacharis.
That's once this man becomes.
There's only once the Zman becomes. So someone were to wake up before the Zman of the time.
So the halacha is the following. In the last half an hour before dawn, we don't wash. We don't start a full meal anymore. But on less than a full meal, we're allowed to start even within a half an hour of dawn. So if one intended to eat or drink, one gets up at that hour and you're not washing, whatever, there's basis to be made. Yeah. So this is one aspect. So this machloikus of when the Tainus begins is very, it's not only a theoretical, it has practical ramifications. Yeah, man.
Is there a requirement to make a specific tanai in your mind that you're going to eat, or just you plan to eat, you plan to get up in the morning, you set an alarm or a stop?
Oh, that's mustafa. That means you plan to think that's it.
There's no need to make
I don't think it needs a hinani mucha. I don't think it needs a specific lotion. Because he writes in Rogel Lishtoi Sachar Hashena in Tzorach Lehasnois. If a person normally gets up early in the morning, and he normally, you know, takes a drink before he goes to shul in the morning, so that's self understood that's included. You know, a person he sets his alarm, that's also that he was master. That's papoil. Yeah. That's not theoretical.
And a lot of people of a certain age get up twice a night to go to the bathroom, so that would count. You should be able to.
So if you intend to drink when you get up, it would.
So you'd make that tonight.
Yeah, but that's only the tonight only helps then for drinking, unless you make a tonight for eating too. You need a specific.
Yeah, so specify for eating.
Yes, then it's fine. If you specify eating, that's it. So, you know, then whatever happens, the luck if you get up or you don't get up, you know.
Yeah.
Now. I want to take a look a little bit at the din of Aneinu. We have an addition to the Tfilas of Aneinu. Now, Aneinu was different for the Shliach Tzibur than it is for the Yochid. The Shliach Tzibur recites Aneinu at Shachrus, which we don't. And the Shliach Tzibur also has an entire bracha for it. It's not part of Shomei Tefillah. That a cheshbon between the Shliach Tzibur and the Yochid, why the Yochid doesn't recite it in B'Shachris and the Shliach Tzibur does, is a very simple reason. Because the Shliach Tzibur is the voice of the Tzibur, it's not a personal voice. So we may assume that in all of Klal Yisrael, there are going to be 10 people that fast the times, no matter what. So Mameila, it's a fast for Klal Yisrael. So he's the voice of the Tzibur. So he's voicing the fact that in Klal Yisrael there were at least 10 Jews that fasted today. A Yochid, on the other hand, is not a, how does he know what's going to happen? Maybe 2 hours from now he's not going to feel so well. And he won't be able to fast. So the Yochid shouldn't recite the Neiru with Shachros. The afternoon already, a nice part of the day went by, has a better idea where he's holding. If at that point he thinks he's going to finish the fast, Mestavro will finish the fast. It could reflect not an anxiety if we're going to succeed in fasting, but something deeper than that. The Taisis Yontif, Masechta Brochus, it's a kasha. It says that a Shliach Tzibur that gets up and says the Rabbeinu Shel Olam should have compassion upon us, just as you had compassion on the birds in the bird's nest, that you said first Shaleach to Shalach Asayim v'sabonim tikach loch, and not to take the young from in front of the mother. Rabbeinu Shel Olam, just as you are compassionate on those birds, so shall you be compassionate upon us. She says Meshaskin also. He says the Rabbi Shlomo Olam did this as a compassionate expression. Benin Elixeris. Along comes the Ramban and Chumash, and the Ramban and Chumash tells us Shaluach HaKein, a mitzvah. It shows us the Rabbi Shalom's compassion. So the Tosis Yontif says, how can the Ramban write such a thing in the parish on Chumash? When the Mishnah in Brocha says Meshaskin Isai, it's David that's inconsistent with Torah. So how could the Ramban write it? So the Tosis Yontif tells us a klal in Tefillah. He said there's nothing wrong with arriving at a time of mitzvahs that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam had compassion on the birds. Elo, do we know if that's necessarily true? We don't know that it's necessarily true. We could say, well, listen, why on this minute and not another minute? I'm not the kid of a mass abrasion. Right? We don't know. We're not sure. Philosophy, we can make any statement we want, as long as it's not clearly sacrilegious. But when we daven, ato machlito, I can only include in tefillah that which is definitively true. If it lacks in truth, it's a chisaron in tefillah. And therefore, I may not include it in the tefillah. Because olesh neshneach tzibur. It's a nice thought, very nice. You could say it for a drosha Shabbos morning. But do you have on the hotline to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? He confirmed that you got the truth on this one? Do you know? Speculative cannot be in tefillah. Now we find, for example, there's a machlekes in the Achronim, is what happens if you say Yalav Yovo and then you realize today's not Rosh Chodesh. I finished davening, or I got up to Maidim, and all of a sudden it strikes me, yeah, Rosh Chodesh is yesterday, Rosh Chodesh is tomorrow. When I said Yalav Yovo today, now what do I do? Here I said, B'yom Rosh Chodesh is it? Well, today is not Rosh Chodesh, so what do I do? So there are those that say that you're not Yotzei Tefillah. Why? Because it's a sheker b'tefillah. It was Meshaker. Sheker is the antithesis of Tefillah. The Rebbeinu Shlomo's coin of the realm of the Rebbeinu Chesoma Yemes. To speak to the Rebbeinu Shlomo demands of us absolute integrity. If a statement is untrue, How dare I declare it before the Rebbe Shalom? It's the ultimate psul in tefillah. So there are achronim that say that I have to daven again, not yetz. The ma'aseh we don't put the chayotim as meigel. We don't have to daven again. But there's a perspective sheker b'tefillah. There's the ultimate kilkul of tefillah. It's impossible we can have a tefillah with sheker. We find a similar notion, in a less chomerdiko aspect. We have the Shir Shoyim that we recite each day at the end of the tefillah. It is not such an ancient minhag. It's a minhag that developed in the last few hundred years. That's probably why we have a Shir Shalahoyim Olaviyim Omer Beveis HaMikdash and Shabbos, because they did not recite the Yom when they incorporated that in the tefillah. So they made a general reference to the idea of the Yom. So our pretty common practice, at least among Ashkenazic Jews, I don't know what the Sephardic practice is, but among Ashkenazic Jews, Pesach, the first day Pesach, is going to come out on Shabbos this year. Purim is on Thursday. What Yom do I recite for that day? So, let's leave out the Shabbos one is fine. Purim has a Mizmor of Ayelech HaShachar, Mizmor Chav Beis. The second day Pesach is on Sunday this year. So what do I recite? Do I say Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos Shavuot Yilvim Omrisim L'Shlovim Mizmor L'Shamor Atzmon Otevo V'Yishvivo? So Rav Sam Sofer and Beyer writes Chalila, I cannot state Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos Shavuot, the statement Shavuot Hoyu Alavim Omrim V'Veis Hamikdash. I'm not allowed to say on Yom Tov. Why? Because it's a sheker. It was not the shir of Yom Tov. On Yom Tov they didn't recite that shir in the Beis Hamikdash. So how can I say Shavuot Hoyu Alavim Omrim V'Veis Hamikdash? So Doiva Shkor, let's see the second day Hashem. Can't come before the Rebbeinu Shalom, a Doiva Shkor. The Vilna Gaon, in fact, according to the sheet of the Vilna Gaon, one recites only one mizmor at the end of davening every day. Never more than one. And on all the Yom Tovim have different mizmorim, not the mizmorim that we recite throughout the year. Every Yom Tov has a different mizmor. And the Gaon's Cheshbon Rosh Chodesh pushes aside everything else, even Shabbos. Shabbos pushes aside everything else, other than Rosh Chodesh. And all the rest of the days, you have a different Yom. You have one mizmor. On Purim is mizmor Chav Beis. You don't recite the mizmor of Yom Chamishi B'Shabbos. Purim. Why? Because Doiv Shkor. You can't be a Doiv Shkor before the Rebbeinu Shalom. And particularly in Shmoneh Esrei. So that could be also was the Inyan. That how could I say Aneinu Hashem, Aneinu B'yom Tzom Taniseinu, that's a personal statement. Good. Sof Kosof, it's my personal tefillah. So that means I have to be part of this. I'm not only davening for the guy down the block. I mean, I have to be part of this deal. The Shteach Tzivor is for all the Klal Yisrael. He has to be part of Klal Yisrael for that. But he's the voice of Klal Yisrael, not a personal voice. My individual tefillah is a personal voice.
All the siddurim don't have that sentence. What? All the siddurim do say Yom Yom, whatever the day is.
Ain't no chanami.
And they included it, Shabbat you
all. Ain't no chanami.
So what do we do with that?
Listen, I don't say it. That's all simple enough.
So you said Shabbat Yom.
I certainly don't say Shabbat Hoyu Olavim. My personal practice in more recent years is to follow the minhag growing this all together, as they do in Eretz Yisrael. But I long ago gave up on Shabbat Hoyu Olavim, I remember the some big shifter. I learned some safer. So that could be another aspect of the Din of Aneinu. That if I recite Aneinu when I don't fast, so there was a sheker between Lossi. So the Yom Tov for me. I can include others in my tefillah, that's true. But I'm included in that tefillah. Im shochach milomar Aneinu in machzir noisa. I don't have to go back if I left it out. It's not ma'akiv. And if I remember before I said the final year of Rotzen, and I say it without any chesima, without a bracha at the end. La'achat filoso, after I basically finished the Shmonesri. So if I forgot it in the appropriate place, for Yediyoch, the appropriate place is in Shomea Tefila. So if I remembered subsequent to Shomea Tefila that I didn't say Aneinu, so I recited another kind of Torah before Yiyul Rotz. Yesh Oimrem She'en Ayochid Oimer Aneinu Kiyim B'mincha. That the Yochid only says Aneinu B'mincha, which is our practice. V'ol Shema Yuchzenu Bumas. Perhaps we will be afflicted with bulimia, this overwhelming desire to eat. And it says, "Venim to shakran b'tfilosim." We've explored what it means, shakran b'tfilosim. Shakran b'tfilosim was a major flaw in tefillah. Avos shliach tzibur oimrei, gan tefillas b'tfilas shachrus, shuhum is palo b'koyrom. When he says it, b'kol rom. Now it's interesting. Avod b'tfilas lacha shalol lo yomer aneinu b'shomei tefillah do kishor yehu kishor yechida. He doesn't say it. Only b'kol rom.
Is that
how he passed it? Yes. Shalol yis anuk tzas me'akom. It's impossible that somebody won't fast. Uvar b'tzaymois, the Shulchan Aruch says, kama yochad omer b'chol tefillah yisa. Why? That's on the sheet of the Ramah, since it is a tainus tzibur, I can call it, it is a tainus thing, whether I fast it or not. That's the mechaber. V'nogu b'cholatzoy m'shaloyla oim rokiyim b'minchom u'vad shatz, oim r'shachus kishum espalo v'kolo. Ramah says Ashkenazic practices that we don't recite it at Shacharis. Now it says, Kiyim b'mincha, afilu mispalo mincha g'doylo, and even if we daven mincha in the early part of the afternoon, yom ra'aneinu, afilu m'yochzenu b'umus, l'yeh shakrim b'tfilos, or d'vah koponim misana ad chatzis. At the very least, I've got a major chelak of the tainus in. Half the day I did fast. And as I said, it could also be...
Another person who's eating should say it?
No, we're talking... Right now he expects to fast. So what happens if it came out that he didn't succeed?
At this moment he said, "Sorry, it all and nothing." That's true.
Yeah,
but an hour later he can't have it anymore.
Yeah, so but he shouldn't say it says beyond some time he's saying it when he's not fasting.
Until now, or
what? Well, it did not prove to be true.
Okay.
So that's, there's a lot of things that I may wish to be true.
Yeah.
But between the wish and the reality is a long difference. There's a long ride.
So the halacha is in fact that the Shia Tzibur doesn't say Aneinu in the silence one.
Correct. The boys will hold it at this point. Aleichem, who am I speaking to? What? Where are you from?